Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back, everybody. Another edition of the Sports Show brought to you by thesports.com. My name is Jim Parsons. I'm here with Norman Quarantine. Norman, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We are going to be talking some AEW Dynamite as we record this. This is now Thursday, February 9th. So we're, you know, just under 24 hours removed from Dynamite, which from the pieces I caught of it were vicious in some ways, lots of in-ring action in others. MGF had a memorable promo on the show. Lots to go through. We're going to get there. We're going to talk AEW Dynamite, but before that, we're going to cover a little bit of WWE and AEW news and rumors, because we like to do that in midweek form, because there's no real pay-per-view right now to talk about, so we're getting ready for Elimination Chamber. So let's talk a little bit of news in the world of WWE. Some of the things that are coming out of this past Monday's Raw, and I want to get your take on this. The Baron Corbin experiment seems to be a total failure. JBL has, I guess, fired him. I don't know. Was he in a position to fire him? He has left him. So on Raw, he says, you can't polish a turd. I tried. And he's embarrassed to be seen with Baron Corbin, who loses again in another match. Corbin doesn't seem to care all that much. And he just wants to go out and have some drinks and some Kobe beef and whatever else they do as wrestling gods, which JBL no longer thinks Baron Corbin is. So this failed experiment is now over. It sounds like JBL is leaving WWE in terms of the on-air stuff that he was doing, not going to be on programming on a regular basis moving forward. My question for you is, what the hell would you do with Baron Corbin? Are you going to repackage him? Do you just have something else happen here? Like, what are they going to do with Corbin? This is now, what, the second or third gimmick in 6 months, and just hasn't seemed to work with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's been repackaged a bunch. I know he has a lot, you know, quite a lot of detractors among the wrestling fan community. I think there's, you know, I think overall, I would say the opinion of Baron Corbin is pretty negative. You probably, if you were to just poll WWE fans, you might get a slightly more positive review of his career to date. I don't actually dislike him. I find him kind of entertaining, and I think he has, like, I know he's not like the look, I'm not saying that he's a great, magnificent in-ring worker by any stretch of the imagination, but he does have some very, very cool moves, and I think he's actually a pretty competent big guy. And so yeah, I do think there is a place for him on that roster. I just think they're overthinking it, really. I think the original lone wolf thing he was doing in NXT, he can do that. He doesn't have to be, I think maybe the powers that be, they look at someone like Corbin and they look at his size and his sort of athletic background, and they just immediately, you know, that he either has to be a star, or he's useless, you know. When I don't think that's true. I think there's a spot on that roster for him. I don't, you know, he, as a sort of lower mid card guy, you can book him in a way, you just let him string a few squash match wins together. And then you can use him to get smaller, more charismatic dudes over by beating him. You know what I mean? I think, so I definitely think they've been overthinking it for a long time. The Happy Corbin stuff was fun, but it always had a ceiling. You know, it was never going to carry on. So I don't know. I think he's been dealt kind of a bad hand. And I know there's that kind of... that line of thinking that kind of, you know, if you've been given all these opportunities and nothing's really worked yet, then, you know, it must be your fault kind of thing. But, you know, the Happy Corbin thing did work. It just didn't last. It wasn't built to last, so to speak. I just think they were overthinking it. I don't even think he needs a mouthpiece. He doesn't even really need to talk that much. He can just be a big menacing dude who beats a few jobbers here and there. And then when they're trying to get a smaller, more charismatic guy over, they can have him beat Baron Corbin, you know? How are you feeling about it?
I like Baron Corbin. I think that he, to me, in a perfect world, if I'm booking him, I have somehow found a mashup between the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and JBL. Mm-hmm. I liked the idea of him with JBL, but I've said this on the show a couple times. I think they completely dropped the ball when they had JBL come out, and he did not come out driving a limo. And mm-hmm. Baron Corbin was all dressed up to the nines. He had suits on. He was flashing his money around because they'd already built that up. He'd had all mm-hmm. this money that he won mm-hmm. from gambling in Las Vegas. However it is, he got it. In JBL's situation, he was, you know, this like the CNN kind of money stock investor guy. Million mm-hmm. Dollar Man was just the guy who had all the money. Corbin mm-hmm. got it by winning stuff, whatever, but flash it around, do whatever you want to do and buy your way out of trouble. Try to buy everything that it is that you want. But hey, by the way, you can also kick a little butt because you're Baron Corbin and you're actually pretty tough. You could do that, right? And so there are certain things with Baron Corbin that I wouldn't do. Like, I wouldn't dress him in the same tights. He's a big guy. He's not in the best shape. So I would make sure that his ring gear kind of fits what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I would seriously, I think he could. He's never going to be, to me, where JBL was, where JBL was at the height of his heeldom, where he was like the SmackDown, like the WWE champion in SmackDown and stuff, and mm-hmm. he was really putting baby faces over. I don't think he's going to get there, but I do see him somewhere in like the middle of like a Jinder Mahal and a JBL, you know, like
right.
Jinder Mahal was the guy who transitioned other people. Nobody mm-hmm. ever really thought Mahal was going to be the long-term fit, but you're like, I didn't really like this guy as a champion. I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. I believe that Baron Corbin could be a top-level heel putting over baby faces, but you got to have the right character for him. And I don't know why they didn't do that with JBL. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to me. I think they've missed the opportunity now because I don't know how, unless Corbin comes back and he just all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and he's like, oh, this is what JBL wanted from me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be that guy. And then JBL takes him back or whatever. I don't know. I still think there's something you can do with him, but
yeah. And let's not forget that, you know, before we got to JBL, you know, Bradshaw had a few gimmicks himself.
Yeah.
Obviously he was part of a successful tag team, which Baron Corbin, I mean, maybe we can stick Baron Corbin in a tag team. I know we tried that, but maybe there's someone else that he on the roster that he can form a tag team that can get over with.
Well, I used to think it was him and Damian Priest would have been a perfect fit, but now that Damian Priest is in Judgment Day, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But
yeah
absolutely. Like Justin Hawk Bradshaw was a goofy gimmick that fit him at the time. And then he was like part of the cowboy, like the Mulligans or whatever they were, the Blackjacks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he became, so you can go
Acolytes and then, and then JBL, right? Well, no, then there was actually a little,
Acolytes, APA.
Yeah. Acolytes, APA. And then between APA and JBL, there was a sort of, weird, like blank canvas Bradshaw that we had for a little while. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't know if I do actually.
Yeah. Just, I've done it. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I definitely have this memory of us having this like weird, blank canvas Bradshaw for a few months before we got the JBL reboot. And that was, you know, he was before that, we would have said that JBL was in the sort of salad days of his career. And then he went and had this, top card championship run. So, you know, it's not too late for Baron Corbin to figure stuff out for sure.
Yeah, no, they can do the right thing. Speaking of gimmicks that may or may not be working to a lot of the fans, I want to ask you what your opinion is on this Alexa Bliss stuff. So what we've got is PW Insider is one of the sources saying that she's going to be taking some time away from WWE. And then Alexa Bliss comes out on social media and says, no, don't believe everything that you read. Unless it comes from me, it isn't necessarily true. That said, she wasn't on Raw. We haven't seen much of her since the Royal Rumble, if anything at all. And there was kind of a left open what is going on with her sort of feeling at the end of that pay-per-view. We don't know what is happening with her character because the Uncle Howdy thing with her doesn't make a lot of sense when you look at it from a Bray Wyatt perspective, which we've gone over ad nauseum about how none of that really makes sense. We don't really know what's going on with Alexa Bliss. Now, it seems right to believe her when she says, don't believe this. I'm not going anywhere. Although she didn't exactly say I'm not going anywhere. But like, are we to expect now after her comments that she's going to be back on Raw this week and that she'll be at Elimination Chamber or WrestleMania? Like, I don't know how you work her in, especially when you don't know what you're doing with her, when you're not really sure what the character is supposed to be, who she's working with, what opponent makes sense for her. Do you think we'll see her again before WrestleMania?
I mean, I imagine we will in some capacity. To
be
honest,
do you want to? Like, would you even have her on TV if you have nothing good to do with her before WrestleMania?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think there was a period when I was quite into Alexa and what she was doing. She was never the most, she's not the most naturally gifted worker, but they made it work, right? She doesn't have the talent, the skills of a Charlotte Flair or a Sasha Banks or a Bayley or a Becky Lynch or, you know, some, you know, other non-four horsewomen female competitor. She doesn't have that. You know, she is a natural athlete, but her in-ring work often left a lot to be desired. But she was decent enough, and she had something about her. I think she had some charisma, and you know, her title, she was a really good heel. I remember she cut some really good promos. I remember when she defended the title in the Elimination Chamber, and she cut a really good promo where she, you know, she tricked everyone into thinking that she was about to turn babyface. You know, do you remember that a few years back? That was a really good promo. To be honest with you, the Bray Wyatt stuff, I think, has absolutely buried her, and I think she's struggling to recover. And I think also, not to bring in personal life or whatever, but since she got married, I'm not saying if it's correlation or causation, but since she got married, she hasn't really seemed to be super interested in. I don't know if you've noticed it too. She just doesn't look, her heart just doesn't seem in it anymore. And who can blame her? You know, I don't know. I think she is probably capable of pursuing other ventures outside of WWE. She is married to
Ryan Cabrera,
a moderately successful musician who makes very bad music. But she, you know, she just doesn't really seem that interested anymore. I don't know if she probably might need some time off. She might need to come back with a new, because what they did was they brought her back and then they almost immediately stuck her right into this stupid nonsense Bray Wyatt stuff again. And it's just not doing her any favors. So yeah, I think we'll probably see her in some capacity, but I also wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see her until maybe after Mania.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I know you're not saying that it's her marriage that has caused her not to be interested in the industry. I do think she's actually interested in doing something good that she could sink her teeth into, that she could get behind, and she gets excited about the idea of doing something, but then they haven't. And the reason that they didn't find anything for her to do was because she took time off for her wedding. And when she came back and they hadn't used her in a while, they didn't really have a spot for her. And they brought her back at, what was it? The last Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia. And then she disappeared again. And so then it was like, okay, well, what the heck are we going to do with her? And they haven't figured it out yet. And so I could see why she looks like she's bummed. She's got nothing useful to do. And it's kind of like, why would you be excited about, you know, showing up every week when there's really no, like, you don't know what your future is. Like, you know that you're going to work there. You know that they're probably eventually going to find something for you. But in the meantime, you're just showing up and sort of spinning your wheels, which is not exciting. So to me, I hope they don't bring her back, to be honest with you. I would say keep her off TV as long as you need to, until you have fully settled in on what it is you want to do with her, right? Till the two of you have sat down and said, this is the idea we have for you, this is where we want this to go, we're going to start this push right now, we're going to continue through it, and this is what we're doing. Until that happens, until you know that, don't use her. Like, yeah, let her go home and be with her husband. Let her go home and do whatever she wants to do. Don't use her until you have a real good... And I certainly wouldn't use her leading into WrestleMania if you had nothing good for her to do. Like, I just... I wouldn't at all. I do want to ask you what your take on the Paul Heyman, Cody Rhodes promo from Raw was. Are you in the boat of people who were like, this was like maybe the best thing ever? It was really good. They very emotional. They brought in a whole bunch of different stuff from, you know, their history in ECW and Dusty Rhodes and Kid. I mean, where does this rank for you in terms of promos for two people? And what do you think it does for Cody?
Yeah, I liked it a lot for sure. I will say, you know, I've mentioned this before on the podcast. Maybe it's just me, to quote LeBron James, maybe it's me. Sometimes I go online and I see the way people are reacting to some of these segments, and I think there's a little bit of people maybe being a little bit hyperbolic, but this was a very, very good, enjoyable segment between two good talkers. I've really actually liked Cody's promos a lot lately, and it's weird because his promos aren't really different from what they were in AEW. I don't know.
They're long and they're heavy winded and they're big words.
They're kind of corny. They're like a little corny, a little saccharine, but they're the same thing, and it's just a completely different environment. Yeah, I guess it's kind of like like his promos in AEW, it would be like sending someone, if you had sent like John Cena to go cut a promo in ECW or something, do you know what I mean? So, back in the day, I guess that kind of happened, didn't it? I've liked his promos, and I do think jumping ship to WWE is the best thing, the best decision he's ever made in his career, as was leaving WWE when he did, right? Because if he doesn't do that, we don't get this version of Cody Rhodes for sure. This segment was good. Liked it. I liked what they were doing. And I think this was Cody needed this, I think, with all the talk and speculation and the Sami Zayn stuff. However, whatever they can do to keep people talking about Cody and to keep building up Cody as a viable number one guy, they should do that, and that's what they did. So yeah, very effective segment for sure.
Yeah, you know what, I was thinking about this when I was watching Raw as that promo was going down. If you took a piece of paper and you grabbed a pen and you drew a timeline for what happened with Cody when he got to and he started up AEW and was really popular with the AEW fan base because he helped create, if not the main guy who created AEW, he was certainly part of the four or five people who did. And he had so much love among the fan base for doing that, for going out there, making a name for himself, turning that into a big, huge indie show that sells in an arena, and then turning that into a promotion that is now a serious competitor, even though you can debate how much of a competitor. But it's the number two promotion for sure in wrestling. People loved him. And then that, you know, shiny, happy feeling about loving him faded away, and AEW didn't do anything with it, right? They just let him go out there and do these winded promos and not really have good rivalries or feuds with anybody, and people started to boo him. In WWE, he comes back to WWE. Fans are going ape over this. They love it. He has those matches with Seth Rollins. He tears his pectoral, and people are looking at Cody like, oh my gosh, he's the next major thing. Like, who does this? Who goes through this battle? They love him. They love him. They love him. And then he comes back. Okay, he's not injured anymore. He's on his way to WrestleMania. The fade there is potentially possible because we're looking at Sami Zayn now. And so you go, okay, are we going to lose Cody Rhodes? Because the shiny, happy feeling of him coming back to WWE and wrestling through those matches with Seth Rollins has sort of faded away. Now, what you need to do if you're WWE is make sure that shiny, happy feeling stays there all the way through WrestleMania. If after WrestleMania he wins the titles or whatever happens there and he turns heel or whatever they do because they feel like they've lost that momentum, then do whatever you got to do. But up until WrestleMania, you need to keep Cody Rhodes with that shiny, happy, everybody loves him feeling because it's new and it's like exciting and whatever. I think that Paul Heyman promo helped do that. That's to me what was the most important about that. It's because you can create all these new emotional storylines between Dusty and the, you know, ECW. And they mentioned it a lot, how he went out and he was a disruptor. He helped create, he never said AEW, but he helped make AEW, which really rustled the industry and did all these things. Those are the types of things you got to tell fans. You got to remind them of this. This is why Cody's so important. And if they forget that stuff, he just becomes another guy. But if they remember all of that and they go, right, that's why we like Cody, you can keep this going. That's what I feel like. If you can keep that feeling about Cody, why he's so unique and why he's so special, and what makes him the Cody Rhodes that came back, you got a shot at making this really work for WrestleMania. If you lose that, you're in trouble. So that's where I think that was really important with Paul Heyman. That's why I liked it so much.
And if he, you know, if like, what you were saying, there were moments in AEW when Cody probably should have turned heel because he was sort of generating, you know, the crowd turned on him. And so the best way to run, and I think he could have been a very effective heel in AEW in, he could have touted his sort of, you know, I'm a WWE guy, you know, and I made this company and blah, 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 that kind of thing. If he ever does go back to AEW, I think he would be a heel now, you know. It would have to be in a way, I think. Like you said, it was a good segment and really, really did what it was supposed to do. Also, funny, fun fact, I actually saw Cody's, but I was present at Cody's first non-WWE match when he parted ways with WWE back in, was it 2016, I think?
2016? Okay, I'm not sure the year, but I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and it was against Zack Sabre Jr. at an Evolve show in an Amish flea market in Joppa, Maryland. So yeah, that was fun.
Crazy. Yeah. Look how far things have gone. Mm-hmm. Before we move on to AEW, which we are going to do because we have a major storyline and a change with some titles on that show, I do want to quickly send out our best thoughts and wishes to Jerry Lawler, who suffered a stroke and is recovering from what we understand. Not totally out of the woods yet, but it does look like he's going to make a full recovery. So I just wanted to make sure that we address that before we moved on to AEW, because we are thinking about Lawler. We want to make sure that, you know, he's good and that everything is okay there, but its signs look good. It looks a little scary there for a moment, but it's good news to hear that Lawler is doing okay.
Yeah, and did you see the pic of, I think Jimmy Hart was at his bedside?
Yeah.
At Lawler's bedside? Not to be harsh, but I can't think of anything I'd want less when I if I was recovering from a coma.
Well, you got to keep in mind, in all defense of Jimmy Hart, there may not be a person in the industry that has the history with Lawler that Jimmy Hart does. If you think back to Andy Kaufman and all that stuff that happened, a lot of fans don't know where Jimmy Hart and Jerry Lawler sort of got together and became such a big deal, but they together did some magic in the wrestling industry. And I think they've probably been lifelong friends, and they're both from Memphis, where Jimmy Hart was really big and probably still is in the music industry. I think he was like in a 50s band or something before he got into wrestling. Right. So there's a huge history there between those two guys. I understood exactly why Jimmy Hart's the first guy there. Right.
Yeah,
I bet
you there. Yeah. Like, Jimmy's great.
Yeah, we think about Jimmy and Hulk Hogan as being the best of friends. I wonder if, you know, Jimmy and his allegiance and loyalty to Jerry Lawler is even stronger, because those guys go way back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to get your take on the AEW tag team title change. This is the big. Yeah. There's a lot happened on Dynamite. Some major matches, some bloody stuff. But the big takeaway here was that the Guns are now the new AEW World Tag Team Champions, beating the Acclaimed, which has floored a lot of people. I'm kind of included in that. I liked the way that the match, it was a little bit old school, right? Like the heels getting the advantage over the baby faces by cheating.
Yeah.
Kind of, it was an old school.
This reminded me
of the 90s match.
I was going to say this reminded me actually of kind of Russo era, Vince Russo era WWE booking in a way. And I don't even mean that in a bad way necessarily, but we'll get to that.
No, yeah. Even earlier, like I've just caught myself lately watching like old Saturday Night's main events from like 87, 88, 89. And they booked like a lot of this stuff, like where speaking of Jimmy Hart, the guys grab the megaphone and hit the guy, and that's where the heel wins. You know, like stuff like this is kind of how this went down. But the fact that it was the Guns, right? I sort of figured maybe Billy Gunn would sort of swerve here and rejoin the Guns. That's what I was anticipating coming in. I didn't assume that they would kind of keep dumping their dad and they would win the titles. So my question for you is this something that AEW did to just shock people? Are they going to give the titles right back to the Acclaimed? Like, what are they doing here?
Yeah, it's a tough one. And like, I actually didn't watch the show live. I did have this result spoiled for me. And I just assumed that Billy had turned on the Acclaimed, and and to facilitate this title change. I just immediately assumed that that's what happened, and was surprised when I watched and saw that didn't happen. I think it was a strange result. I don't think nobody was really expecting it. The Acclaimed are the most over tag team in in all of wrestling, maybe, other than, I don't know. I mean, yeah, they're a babyface tag team. I can't think of a babyface tag team that's more over than they are. Very popular. Been working very hard. They really deserve this run. But the Guns, I've actually kind of really been enjoying what they've been doing. And for a long time, I didn't quite see anything in them. I thought they were just sort of Nepo babies without too much charisma or talent. But I've actually really been enjoying their work with the Acclaimed lately. Yeah, I don't think it's a massive deal. I think it's a bit of a weird... It was a weird result for sure. It can be rectified. I do think AEW should tread lightly when it comes to sort of flip-flopping titles like this. And like I said earlier, it reminds me kind of some Vince Russo Attitude Era sort of booking when there was a lot of, that sort of late 98, early 99 period when there was a lot of titles flip-flopping. This result reminded me of that, assuming that the Acclaimed win it back at some point. But yeah, I don't want to be like a let it play out guy, but I will reserve full judgment for another couple of weeks just to see where they're going with it. It's a weird one for sure, but I don't totally hate it.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about it was that Billy Gunn didn't turn. It made no sense to me. Like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you really want to shock people, the most over thing in AEW right now is the Scissor Me Daddy stuff. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to have Billy Gunn just walk away from that and rejoin his sons and turn on the Acclaimed while they do that, you only get one shot at that. And eventually mm-hmm. that's probably where it has to go, right? Whether it's now or it's in 6 months or whatever the case, that's what you need to do. And you should probably do it when they are at the height of their popularity, because it will have the most impact when you do it. I don't know that you can do that now. Now that the Guns have won the tag team titles, you can't have the Guns win the tag team titles again for the first time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they've won it now. And the best way to have had done that is to really get them over his heels and to take away from the fans what the fans love the most, which is the Scissor Me Daddy stuff. And you can't do that now. It's gone.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the one thing that you can't do. So to me, I thought that was the biggest missed opportunity. Maybe they didn't want to do it because they didn't want to take that away from people. They weren't ready to get rid of it. And if that's the case, then don't make the title change yet. Wait until you are ready to do that, and then have that be the way that it goes. If you still want to give the Guns the tag team titles, because I'm not disagreeing with you, I don't think they're terrible, but if you're going to do that, you need Gunn to turn, you need to destroy the Scissor Me Daddy stuff, and you need him to go to with his kids. And at that point, it has the most impact, and now they've lost that opportunity. And unfortunately, AEW does this stuff. They pull the trigger on things really quickly, and they did it with the Acclaimed, when the Acclaimed could have won the tag titles for the first time, and they left it with Strickland and Keith Lee, and the fans were telling them, screaming at them, this is the wrong choice, and they didn't do it, right?
They
had the opportunity, and they missed the boat. And so now what do you got? You don't have Keith Lee and Strickland anymore, right? You just don't. It's kind of, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And I think this could have been a title change that would have made sense. They just needed to do it different. And me, I think that was the biggest missed opportunity. What did you make of the matches that were happening? Like the Bryan Danielson match. So MJF locks him in the storage room as he's, you know, having his interview with Renee Paquette, and then he beats the count in. And then goes on to have like an extremely bloody match, which a lot of people are talking about, thought was pretty awesome. I didn't get to check the whole match out, and I still haven't had the chance to watch the whole thing. So I will ask, not to flex, not the right word, but I will delegate to you to talk about this. What did you make of this match?
I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. It was definitely not a WWE style. It was definitely the kind of match that Danielson has been hankering to have. Since, you know, he was dying to have these kinds of matches in WWE, and he never really got the opportunity. He had a few kind of here and there, nothing quite this. It was a Ring of Honor match. It was an old school Ring of Honor match in a good way. You know, it was very intense. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I think the result was really good. I thought it was. I mean, I think Rush is also really sort of exciting wrestler to watch. I've been very impressed with his AEW work so far, in ring work at least. Very very gruesome match, but very enjoyable. Maybe not necessarily something that you expect to see on TV, but yeah, you know, I don't know if I'm just trying to imagine like a sort of casual or newer wrestling fan and watching it and wondering what they could think of it. But yeah.
Yeah, it sets up now officially Bryan Danielson and MJF for the pay-per-view. MJF has a pretty cool match too, where he does like a backflip off of something, lands on his feet. Like, he's proving that not only can he talk, but he's in great shape, like maybe the best shape I've ever seen him in. And he's wrestling some pretty solid matches too. What'd you make of his promo, the one he did backstage where he's talking about how he's a jerk and he takes shortcuts and he knows it and he's totally okay with it. And then he tells this story about how this girl's in an accident with him and he switches seats with her so he doesn't get caught, you know, all this other stuff. Like, what'd you make of MJF during Dynamite on Wednesday?
Yeah, I thought that, that was bizarre, but I didn't hate it. And yeah, weird promo, but you know, I'm kind of, I don't know, it's hard to explain. I've been a bit hot and cold on MJF's title reign so far. I'm struggling to sort of articulate how I feel about it, because I thought that the time was right for him to be champ. I think he has all of the necessary attributes, you know, required to be a top heel, monster heel champion. But so far, I think the reign has been, I don't know, I don't think it's quite fulfilled its potential just yet, but I think it's been perfectly fine. And I don't know, I think part of me wonders if, I don't know, this is maybe like a controversial opinion or whatever. I think AEW might need a couple more pay-per-views a year, because right now, the way that they're doing these, I'm not saying they need to have, you know, 15 pay-per-views a year like WWE or whatever, but maybe more than four they have a year, maybe maybe up it to six or seven. I don't know, because the way that these builds now, we're getting these like drawn out 5-month builds between pay-per-views that I don't think it's really doing people any favors. And if you're not getting those long builds, then you're getting like a bunch of small builds that get cut off in between and then restart, and you know, right before the pay-per-view's coming along. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
I agree with you. If you're good at storytelling like WWE used to do, and when they would like build up a match for a whole year at WrestleMania,
right,
and you can get away with it. But if you do not tell a good storytelling, if you cannot maintain something long term and keep people invested in it, you need quicker storylines that pay off at pay-per-views that happen sooner, because
with 3 hours of TV a week too.
So it's challenging. Do you think Danielson is inevitably going to win the title? Like, would you take it off of MJF at this point? Like, there's a real argument to make here for that.
I don't know. I think maybe give MJF a few more pay-per-views, a few more defenses maybe. Like, because I said, they got to tread lightly when they're playing hot potato with these titles. Danielson obviously should be champion. He should be champion. I'm surprised that he hasn't been already. I would have thought that when the CM Punk thing went, you know, tits up, that Bryan Danielson would have been the, I know he had some injury issues too, so it wasn't that simple, but yeah, I don't know. I think we will get there eventually. It's obviously inevitable. But yeah, I don't. There is a good case to be made for Danielson winning, but maybe just not yet.
Yeah, for me again, I think they missed the. I think they did this backwards. I think they should have had Danielson win the title when Punk went away and instead of Moxley. I think you bring MJF back as the heel, and you have Danielson holding the title with MJF trying to take it from him. And I think that's what you build over the last couple months, and they didn't do that right. So now, if you take the title away from MJF, everybody's going to scream it was way too short a reign for MJF, who is probably the future of AEW. But if you don't give it to Danielson, then everybody cries, well, when are you going to give it to the guy? Because he absolutely deserves it. So again, it's kind of like, oh man, what are they going to do? If they have a rematch, that's another thing. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Anything else you want to, before we close things off, that you want to address from Dynamite that needs to be covered?
Let's see.
The trios match they had.
Yeah, that trios match was really, really good. The AR Fox Elite match, that was really, really, Top Flight and AR Fox versus the Elite trios match. That was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed that. Jamie Hayter versus the Bunny was kind of a nothing match, really. I don't know what
Soraya and Tony Storm blatantly ripping off the NWO.
Yeah.
I don't know what the story is with that.
But... I'm not really sure what's going on there. I don't know if it's... they're both... I don't know. I don't think people they're are really buying... People aren't buying them as heels, are they?
I mean, they're spray painting people and they're telling everyone they're taking over. I mean, it's just a... It's weird. It's
I'll tell you one. Okay, here's one complaint about AEW right now. I'm getting a little. I don't know if this is controversial either. I'm kind of sick of Chris Jericho.
You're not the only one, bud. Jericho Appreciation Society, total flop for me.
Yeah, I think he needs to take a little bit. I think he should go take 6 months off or something because he's just hogging up so much screen time. They did this, the Action Andretti, Ricky Stark stuff. I think. Had potential, but I don't think they necessarily capitalized on the momentum that they got after Andretti beat Jericho. That could have been like a, everyone was comparing it to the 1-2-3 Kid Razor Ramon situation, but it never actually, I think they kind of dropped the ball after that a little bit. And I just think, I'm just getting kind of sick of his promos and of this situation.
And then he goes and makes ridiculous comments about how like he wouldn't job to Gunther. So he does that on AEW, and he jobs out to guys that they don't push really or do much with. And then he's like one of the most over people in the industry who it's pretty clear is going to be a massive deal. And Jericho's like, I wouldn't job to Gunther. You need to stop talking. I think you're right. I think he needs to go away for a bit. Take some time off, stay off social media. And he probably won't because I'm sure there's revenue attached to it somehow. But he's draining on people.
He's kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say he's like just wrecking his legacy because I think a lot of people are really into the stuff he's been doing in AEW. And look, AEW is AEW, maybe without him, AEW isn't as successful as it has been. He was a big deal and a big part of the company's sort of origins. But I think, a big part of that is, knowing when to take a step back and giving other storylines, other angles, other talent some space to breathe and just kind of taking a little step back and maybe letting everyone else get on with it for a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's oversaturated himself. He's attached himself to everyone and everything. He's been on every show. He's all over social media. He's on every single pod. Credit to him. He knows how to promote the snot out of himself. But, sometimes that's not always good. Sometimes too much of any one thing is too much of something. And there's a lot of Jericho going around and it might need to take a step back.
Now, the other guys in the Jericho Appreciation Society, I actually think they should the time is approaching for them to get out of his shadow and go and do their own thing. Maybe they can stay as a stable. But yeah, I think I do like all of them individually for the most part. But we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Well, they weren't booked very strong on Dynamite last night. I mean, Daniel Garcia picked up the win, but the rest of them, they just walked.
I mean, I really like
30 seconds or whatever it was.
Yeah, and I really like Daniel Garcia. I think he's actually really in ring. I just think I really enjoy his in ring work. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I think they need to ditch Jericho pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Norman, thank you. We're going to run out of time here, so we're going to close her off at that one. Again, our best to Jerry Lawler. Hopefully he's recovering healthy and he's going to be good to go. For everybody else watching, listening, paying attention to what's going on here on the Sports Show, we appreciate you doing that. Don't forget, download, subscribe, share this with others. Check out thesportsshow.com. Both Norman and myself and a bunch of graders are keeping up with everything. We got Elimination Chamber coming right around the corner. WrestleMania is not too far away, and we'll keep you up to speed on all of that. Take care, everybody. Until the next one, this has been another edition of the Sports Show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.